He's going to spit you out of his mouth. You know, we have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to keep the evil thoughts out and let the good thoughts come in. Remember, faith is one of the power weapons, the most powerful weapons that we have. And we have it to use to fight the devil. You know, we fight him in the spirit and in the truth. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to talk about, please take care the temple of God. Please take care of the temple of God. One of the things that I think is so important, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church and the Roman church about our bodies and how precious they are as it relates to us being the temple of God, where the presence of God, his spirit, is housed in our person. A lot of times we don't understand the magnitude of who we are because of him. We have been made righteous, and we are righteous not because of what we have done to become righteous, but because the righteousness of God is in us when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that Paul makes clear to the Corinthians was the fact that you must know that you represent a higher calling than just yourself. You need to know that you represent the Most High God, and you can't act any way, can't do anything, can't be any way, that God has raised a standard by which his people are to operate on. And God wants us to know that we are special to him, and our bodies are special because he has bought us with a price. What was the price? The life of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ substituted his life for our lives. Jesus Christ took a penalty, paid a penalty, took a punishment that was meant for you and for me. Jesus did for each and every one of us what we could not do for ourselves, and that was redeem ourselves and save ourselves. Yes. Jesus did it at a great cost. And we must recognize, my brothers and sisters, again, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no longer our own. There are three things these three scriptures suggest to us. One is that in these bodies we must live holy. Holy. Two, we must live healthy. That's physically, spiritually, and morally. And then thirdly, in these bodies, we must use them to be helpful. Helpful. Why are these things required? Because we represent God. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 8, beginning at verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, I need you to know, you have got work to do if you belong to God. God has done his work through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is doing his work through us. And one of the things that I am grateful for is the saints who know who they are and whose they are and live accordingly. You know, that was a time the Bible said God winked at sin. But now, these are last and evil days. God wants us to get right, church, and let's go home. That means we got to live right. We got to talk right. We've got to give right. We've got to be right. We've got to do right. We've just got to be what God wants us to be in and of his righteousness. Listen, when Paul was talking in the third chapter, in the 16 and 17 verse, he was dealing with a church with schisms, divisions, cliques, parties, fractured people, broken people who were not seeing the ministry of God as a whole. The first one, he's talking about the church as a corporate body, the entire body of Christ as the temple of God. And he wanted us to understand through this, he gave two metaphors. One metaphor was an agricultural metaphor. The second one was an architectural metaphor. The agricultural metaphor was when he started talking about he planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed, but it was God that gave the seed its increase. He went on to say that he that planted was nothing and he that watered was nothing, meaning that in and of themselves, that they couldn't do it by themselves, and that they must not be divided because we are one Father's children doing one Father's work, and it ought to be done together. And so he was making clear agriculturally that we all have a part to play, but when we do our part, then God will give the increase. Then architecturally, he talks about our bodies being the temple. Of course, Christ being the foundation. Back in Isaiah 28 and 16, he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Jesus was the foundation upon which the temple is built. The temple here represents all of the believers collectively, representing the church of God. And God dwells in this sacred space. This sacred space. That's why you've got to know you can't act any kind of way in the presence of God. Listen, the angels all day long bow before him crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You serve a holy God. And the Spirit of the living God is holy. And then the Bible reminds us, if any man defiles the temple, God will destroy him. What does the word defile mean? It means to corrupt or to destroy the temple. And we corrupt the temple by using it in ungodly manners and ways and thoughts and actions and deeds. We corrupt the temple of God by putting things in the temple that don't belong in the temple, by doing things with the temple that's unholy and unrighteous, lewd and lascivious. God is saying you need to recognize your body is this holy space that my spirit, my presence lives inside. And God can't live in no messy place. God does not dwell in an unclean temple. So if your temple is not clean, don't expect God to abide. If your heart is not right, don't expect God to abide. If you are not living right, don't expect God to abide. Because you represent him. And then in that 6th chapter, the 19 and 20 verse, God lets you know that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That you have been bought with a price. You are not your own. You can't do what you want to do and call yourself a Christian. You can't act the way you can't get mad and lay your religion down. The Bible says, be angry and what?
Sin not.
Sin not. And then when you get through, you pick up your religion and you go on and we going on up to heaven anyhow. No. It don't work like that. Jesus taught us on this. You've got to learn that God is holy. Be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy in this temple. And so you've got to be careful again, because here he was talking about immorality, indecency. He was talking about people who were fractured and broken and treating their bodies as such. And they didn't realize they didn't own their own bodies. They belonged to God. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God. Our director taught on this in Wednesday's Lunch and Learn, did a magnificent job on this text. So I'm not going to go over all of that, but I want to share a few points in here relative to what I'm talking about here with us being helpful. Because one of the things you got to know is God didn't give you this body not to use it for his glory. You are God's representation here on earth. Your hands ought to work for God. Your feet ought to take you where God wants you to go. Your heart ought to feel what God wants you to feel. Your mouth ought to speak what God wants it to speak. Your ears ought to hear what God wants you to hear. Your eyes ought to see what God wants you to see. Your mind ought to think what God wants you to think. When you begin to realize there's a reason for that, he says that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now listen, in the ancient cultures, especially non-Christian cultures, if a person was caught in a situation where death was impending and someone else happened to have saved that person, from that moment that that person saved him, that person became the slave of the person who saved him. The thought was, if this person had not saved me, I would be dead. Dead. That means I wouldn't have the life I used to have. That means I couldn't do the things I used to do. That means I would no longer exist on planet Earth. That means now that my thanksgiving, my gratitude, my service is all now geared toward serving this person who has saved my life. And for a lifetime, that person serves that person who saved them until that person releases them. And so there was nothing that the master could ask that person to do that that person wouldn't gladly do. Why? Because the master saved their lives. And because the master saved them, they knew that they owed their whole life to the master. That's what Paul was saying when he said, we were bought with a price and we are no longer our own. And so here, he's carrying this over and he's telling the Romans that when we present our bodies, in the Old Testament, when they presented a sacrifice to the Lord, especially the sacrificial lamb, it had to be without spot, without blemish, and it had to be separated for the service of God before it could be presented. And a week before it was presented, it was separated from any and everything else, and they lived with that lamb to make sure that it was proper to present with God, holy, without blemish. And when it says acceptable, it's talking about acceptable to God, not to man. You see, my problem is sometimes I want to please man more than I want to please God. And while I might be acceptable to man, and if I'm not acceptable to God, what I do for man will come to naught. But when I make my mind up that I want to be holy and acceptable to God, then my presentation to God will please him. And if he's pleased, then I will be blessed and prospered. And so when Paul says, which is your reasonable service, how can you do too much for the one who's done everything for you? Saved you. Healed you. Delivered you. Blessed you. Kept you. I mean, everything that's good, he has done for you. And my brothers and sisters, in this temple, this body, we ought to serve God with the body and with the spirit that God has given us to worship him in spirit and in truth out of this body. Why? Because his presence is on the inside of us. The next time you look at yourself, you need to tell yourself, I didn't realize how holy you were. You need to tell yourself, you are somebody. God lives on the inside of you. Do you know you've got to be somebody for the God who created everything there is to be, to take residence in you through his spirit? And he does it because we accepted his son, and his son made us righteous so that God could come and live in us by his spirit. If God can't live in an unclean temple, the question is your temple clean? Check yourself. I can't judge you. No other man can judge you. But God will judge you. But you know what's going on underneath your skin. You know your thoughts. You know your actions. You know your deeds. And my brothers and sisters, listen at the words of David. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the inner part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all of mine iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Listen, I can't tell nobody nothing till I get myself together. I wish I had a helper in the house, because they can't hear what I'm saying for watching what I'm doing. And when I get me together, then my audio and my video will harmonize. It won't be like them old Chinese movies when they talk. All out of sync. They will synchronize. And it'll all come together. Make sure your temple is right with God. Give God praise. To God be the glory. God is so good. We've been talking about God first all this month. God first. And we asked the question, how do we put God first? And we're talking about a life of stewardship. We must every day learn how to give God a set-aside portion of our time. Time. God wants to spend time with you. You know, anything that you love, you find time to spend with them, to be with them, to love on them, to share with them. Time. Time is the one commodity you can't buy, nor can you bring back. And so God wants you to know how precious time is with you. But you've got to feel the same way about him. Secondly, your talents, your gifts, your skills. God gave you them to be a blessing to mankind, but for you to bring him glory through the use of your gifts, your talents, your skills. And that means whatever your abilities are, whatever God has blessed you to be able to do in the secular world, the body of Christ has everything in it that it needs by way of talents, gifts, and skills. And it is a shame that we give our best to the world and not to the body of Christ. One of the things I was so impressed with, I called this doctor, the doctor of my heart, because on Wednesdays at noon we had Bible study in person, and there were several people that got sick in service. And her gift, her ability, her talent, her skills kicked into place and took care of them and ministered to them when those occasions arose. It was months and months and months and months before I realized that she wasn't just anybody. She's unassuming. She wasn't just a nurse. She was a doctor.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now,